So I just want to say Shabbat Shalom and grace to you, my fellow Ruach Israelites, from Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, and from the only begotten of the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, our blessed commander and light of the world, with a tip of my new kippah to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Got to get them all in there. This is such an honor, as I mentioned last week, to be part of this family, this mishpacha, this community, this Messianic Jewish congregation. And Ruach Israel is like nowhere else. Did you hear those scriptures today? I really have nothing else to add to that. Those were some of the greatest verses that are in the Bible. Of course, you could say that about almost anything, like Nathan says about every year at All the Door. But I want to thank Rabbi Nathan for suggesting that I present the second part of this powerful message today. My drash last week was somehow only the introduction for today's message. And it was a pretty good message. And if you were blessed by that sermon, please get ready, because the Ruach of Adonai, God willing, has a word of life for you at Ruach Israel, whoever you are. And thank you for coming here on the Shabbat. I do gush a lot about being with my family. You guys have really made my life so much better than it would have been without you. I don't know you all as well as I would like to, but I'm sure over the next few years, if the Lord tarries, we will become even better friends. So a little quick prayer. Last week I prayed a magnificent prayer from Ephesians chapter 1. It wasn't my prayer, it was Rav Shaul's. So I won't do that this time. I'll just say, Dear Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, and open our souls to what you might have to say at Ruach Israel on August 16th, 2025. Amen. Yes. So guys, the Lord revealed to me a wicked important message. How to know the voice, the actual voice of our sweet, sweet, and good shepherd. Might even call him our great shepherd. And if you have your scriptures, it's going to be from Mark chapter 4. I may have alluded to that last week. I'm going to get into it in a moment. But first, just a question. Do you know when you are hearing the voice of the Lord? And I will admit, I hardly do, or I hardly did. I'm getting better. But Yeshua said, my sheep hear my voice, and they recognize it. Now, let's say you were down at the airport, and someone said, hey, Gary, come on over here. And it was Rabbi Rich. I would recognize it, because he's my shepherd here, and I love him. Or if anyone called my name, I would know it. But if Yeshua called my name, would I recognize him? I'm supposed to, because I'm his sheep. Anyway, won't get into that. Moses, sometimes known as Moishi, said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what he commands, you will be blessed. That's in Exodus 15. And then King David said, oh, that we would listen to God's voice today in Psalm 95. You may know that psalm. In the book of Hebrews, that admonition is repeated three times. In Hebrews 3:7, Hebrews 3:15, and Hebrews 4:7. Now, the book of Hebrews is specifically written for the Messianic Jewish community. So it's to us. And it says the same thing that King David said. Today, you must listen to his voice. Today, you must listen to his voice. Today, you must listen to his voice. You can put the emphasis anywhere you want. And this is how I try to start my day now. I try to start my day by listening. There are so many ways to hear or sense God's communication. You may know some of these ways. You probably do. How could you not? Through the splendor and magnificence of nature. When you're enjoying life on a canoe, let's say, it's like God is whispering and singing to you. Nature, birds, beautiful flowers, trees. Oftentimes, through life's circumstances, as I mentioned last week, sometimes through difficult circumstances, he's trying to get your attention. And as I mentioned, I was kind of stubborn. I wasn't listening. Now I listen. We'll get into that later. Once in a while, we get an impression in our spirit. You know what I'm speaking about when you feel like, hey, that must have been from the Lord, because I didn't know that was going to happen. Many times while reading the daily devoir, the scriptures, or other devotionals, we hear him. And the Lord speaks to us every Shabbat, right here, through the liturgy, through the service, the sacred service, and through the drash, not to mention all the readings. So keep those ears open. And of course, he speaks to us most clearly in the Messiah. Did you know that I was going to say that? I should have asked that as a question. Ha'Elohim asher diber mikedem pa'amim rabot, uvdrachim rabot el havot b'yad hanavim, diber elenu b'acharit hayamim ha'ele b'yad haben. You know what that means? Long ago, in times past, God spoke many, many times and in many and various ways to our Jewish ancestors through the holy prophets. But now, in these final days, or these end times, whatever you want to call it, he is speaking to us through his Son. No other congregation in the Jewish world besides us has this. We have it. Oh, what a blessing. Not to say we're any better than anyone, but we got the goods. In our modern times, there are so many voices calling for our attention. Voices from all sides. How can we hear his voice in the maddening crowds? It has never been more vital than today. Today you must listen to his voice to learn how to distinguish, recognize, hear, and follow. What did Dave say today? There were three things he mentioned. That's what I'm trying to say too. Listen, keep, and follow, right? Pretty much. It's what we're supposed to do with his words. And so it's confusing out there. Most of us are adults, so we're not as confused as the kids, but imagine what it's like to be a kid today and all the voices, all the things coming at you. So many different religions, false prophets, so many other voices on cable TV, the movies, the internet, radio, books, the media, Alexa. Our stupid cell phones. I'm talking to somebody and phone rings. Can you wait a minute? I hate that, don't you? Especially when they do it. I do it, it's not a problem. And then everyone's an expert. Everyone knows about everything. They're all telling me how to live my life. I want to hear from the shepherd. What about Google? You want to know something? Ask Google. We're supposed to ask God. So the latest thing is AI, artificial intelligence. Ooh, how spooky. Everybody is afraid of AI. Are you afraid of AI? Don't answer that. But I'm not, because I have a different AI, Adonai's intelligence. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the real AI. We have the mind of Messiah. Now, let me ask you some questions, my dear fellow Ruach Israelites. Have you ever had to make a tough decision in life? Or have you ever been in a situation where you felt a little confused about which way to go? Do you ever feel bombarded by all the worthwhile charities or causes vying for your attention or for your donations? And you want to give, but there's so many you can't decide who to give to or how much. Have you ever made a choice without thinking it through? I know that's true for me. And then afterwards, you felt, wait a minute, I should have gone left when I went right, or vice versa. In hindsight, you can hear the voice of the Lord a little better than in real time. But God in Yeshua wants us to hear his voice in real time today. You should listen to his voice. Now, I want to go to a great prophet. His name is Isaiah. We read about some of his words today. I don't think there's a better writer in the history of writing than Isaiah. But, of course, I could make an exception for Moses or Paul. Now, Bob read today's beautiful scripture. Did you enjoy that? Now I know why Lisa married you. You are the best reader. And she's a literature major, so how do you top that? Please continue reading nice stories to us. This is what Isaiah said. For the Lord still waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God, and blessed are those who wait for him to help and to bless and to guide and to direct us. You will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Or it might say, turn around and go in that direction. That will be the voice of the Lord. That's what he wants you to tune into. That's what I want. And that's what I need. I can't live my life anymore living on my own decisions and inclinations. They're all wrong. Every one of my natural inclinations is wrong. You saw the Seinfeld episode where George says that, and then they say to him, George, why don't you do the exact opposite of what you were going to do? Well, that's what the Lord is saying to us. You're going the wrong way. You are supposed to go that way. You're supposed to know this way. Now, if these days get any darker, and we live in such a beautiful country, but if these days get any darker, you've got to be able to tune in with your antenna to the voice of the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to teach you something that God showed me. It's a revelation. It's not very plain to see sometimes. Maybe it is. You may already know this. So if you do, you know, take a little nap. You might already know all this stuff. But I'm going to go to Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Once again, Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua, began teaching by the lake. There was such a large crowd along the shoreline that he had to get into a boat and sat down in it and spoke from there. Yeshua didn't have any microphones. How did they hear him? How did they hear him on the mountain? I think he stood in such a way that the echoes or the sound reverberated to the crowd. I don't know how he did it, but, you know, we'll finally see those videos when they're available. Rabbi Yeshua, verse 2, began to teach the people by telling them many cool stories, like this one. You know, he's such a good teacher. A good teacher tells cool stories. That's what we're into. This is what Yeshua said. The first thing he said, Mark chapter 4, verse 3, and it's not in your Bible, but maybe it is. He said, Shema, listen. He might have even said, Shema Yisrael. And when a Jewish person hears Shema, you know what they think of? Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord your God. Shema. And when Yeshua said that, the ears perked up. And when he says that to me, I want to listen. Shema, Lord, means yes. Shema Yisrael means yes, Lord, speak. Now, Jewish people are conditioned to tune in when a prophet says Shema, like Moses. It's like a Pavlov dog's response. Jews everywhere, when they hear the Shema, they go, God is speaking, right? I just made that one up. He says, listen, O Israel. And the people on the side of the shore said, could this be a prophet like Moses? Who would say Shema to us? Nobody said Shema to us for 2,000 years. And this is his story. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. And as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on the sidewalk. And the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the shallow dirt with underlying rock. The seedlings sprang up quickly, but they soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. Other seeds fell among the thorns that shot up and choked out the tender blades so that it produced no grain. And still other seeds fell on fertile, well-prepared soil and produced a crop that was 30 times. No, wait, it was 60 times. And some was 100 times greater than the amount of seeds that the farmer threw down. 100 times greater than he expected. Now, that's a really cool agricultural story. But to be honest, I don't do any farming. I don't know what that's all about. Many times I've read this and kind of skipped over it. How many of you have done the same? Maybe you haven't. But we can find this same story in Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And so I think the Lord is trying to tell us something. Many times I've read it and kind of skimmed over it, or thought I knew what it meant, or ignored it. But in verse 9, Yeshua says, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let them listen. And whoever has, wait a minute, what's the last phrase there? Well, whatever, you get the point. So it is any time you hear the phrase, he who has ears to hear, you've heard that phrase, right? It's always from Yeshua. Revelation, the Gospels, anytime, no one else says that. It's him. You say, if you have ears to hear, listen. Shema. It's Yeshua talking. I'm not saying that about me. I'm saying, ooh, him. Yeshua's talking to us. Pay attention. Whenever you hear, he who has ears to hear, you know it's Yeshua. That's the second clue. And the first clue is Shema, listen. Listen and pay attention. Anyway, Yeshua's disciples wanted to act all cool, like they were good students in front of all the other people that were in the crowds. And they're going, yeah, look at that great teacher. Isn't he cool? But sneakily, they went to him on the side. Verse 10, later on, when the disciples were alone with Yeshua and just a few others of their friends, they asked him, hey, what did that mean? You know, what did that mean? It seems simple, but they knew that there was something more. And even his brilliant Talmidim did not understand, and they were walking with him for maybe a year or two but at this point. And even today, most believers feel kind of the same way, but we won't admit it. We don't ask him, what did you mean when you said that? That's something God likes. And that's our third cue. when you don't fully understand something in the scriptures, ask God. Hey, that's right, ask him. You can Google it, you can look it up in your concordance and all that, but take a minute, ask God. It's okay not to know something. Hey, we can admit that, but it's not okay to pretend like you do know it. That's something God doesn't like. I think there's a word for that. It has to do with wearing a mask. We won't get into that. You can't pretend with God. There are so many things in all of our lives that we need answers to. And again, here's another blessing from Yeshua. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find out. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and even to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And Yeshua says in a different scripture, keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Don't let it go. Don't say, I'll just move on. No, God is trying to get your attention. You can't move on if God's speaking to you. Okay. Verse 11. Yeshua replied, you, my chosen disciples, you are permitted to understand the secrets of God's kingdom. So this is something cool. But I am using parables in order to conceal everything about what I'm saying to the outsiders. It's not for them, it's for you. You're the ones that I'm going to talk to. You're the ones that I'm going to lead. You're the ones that I'm going to bless. But if you're not listening, you'll miss it. Those who are not part of Yeshua's clubhouse don't get the decoder rings. Hey, it's too bad. And this is the fourth cue. Only his sheep can hear his voice. And we are the sheep of his pasture. Verse 12, Yeshua said this stuff so that the scriptures might be fulfilled from Isaiah, that incredible prophet of God, who said in chapter 6, they see what I do, but they do not perceive its meaning. They hear my words, but they do not understand them. Thus, they will not turn from their sins and be forgiven and enter my kingdom. They're not going to do it. They're stubborn. They're sinful. They're proud. But my sheep shouldn't be like that. Open up your ears, he says. And Yeshua turns to his true followers, like us, and says, but if you guys, again, I'm using some colloquialisms here, if you guys, my inner court, my crew, cannot comprehend my teachings, how will you ever understand all the other cool things that I am going to show you? As a teacher, there's no one like Yeshua. You can all agree to that. I mean, we should all give him mighty applause for that, but don't do it now. Hallelujah. Don't you just love this teacher? You know, when you have a good teacher at school, one of my fifth grade teachers was such a cool guy. I loved him. And he was an artist. He used to draw these cool things on the chalkboard, and he taught me how to do some drawings and stuff. And I loved the guy. He was a really cool teacher, but, you know, he's just a human being. So Yeshua, you've all been to a school where you had a great teacher, like Mari, you know, from that book, Tuesday with Mari. That teacher and his son, the other guy's son, they became friends. Great story. But when you have a good teacher, it's dynamite. And we have the greatest teacher who ever lived. And he is training us, his favorite students, how to hear and recognize his voice. So let's take a moment and shoot over to verse 33. Just for a second, it's a very important side note written by Mark making a comment. Yeshua used many such parables and illustrations to teach people as much as they could possibly grasp. In fact, in his public ministry and teaching, he taught only with parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his crew, he explained the meaning to them, to to build their faith. That's what I believe. Now let's return to Yeshua's classroom. Verse 14, back it up. Yeshua explains, and here's the teaching of that parable. We all know it, and we've probably read this 2,000 times. But I hope the Lord will speak to us in a new way. The farmer I spoke of is the one who brings God's message or God's word to others. The seed that fell on the sidewalk or the hard path represents those who hear the message, but then Hasatan comes at once and snatches it away from them. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it gladly. But like such young plants in shallow soil, their roots don't go very deep. At first they seem fine, but they soon wilt when problems, trouble, or persecution comes their way because of God's word, and they quickly fall away. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the good news, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and worries of this life, the lures and deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts and selfish desires of this world, making it unfruitful so no crop is produced. What a teacher. Ah, but the good soil, Yeshua says. Yes, the good soil, the fertile, well-tilled, well-fertilized, well-prepared soil represents those who hear and accept God's eternal message and produce an amazing, marvelous harvest, sometimes 30, 60, or even 100-fold, way more than was ever planted. The seed is God's word, and the soil is our soul. It's almost poetic. He's planting seeds in not your soil, but in your soul, throwing seeds in your soul. If your soul is well prepared and hungry and well fertilized and tilled and all that, you're going to get a growth like you cannot believe. But if you're like worried about what somebody's going to think, you're one of those religious nuts. Or you don't really have the grounding in the Lord because he scattered the seed onto your sidewalk and the birds ate it. That's Satan coming to grab that. You can't live that way. You want to be fruitful. You want to be well prepared to receive his word. I think that's the key element. The fifth key is this parable is how receptive is your heart. Yeshua is telling us to have a heart that seeks after God. Any man or woman, any boy or girl who is like King David, a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart, a boy after God's own heart, or a girl after God's own heart, you will be blessed. You can't settle for anything else. So what does it mean to have a heart after God like King David? You got to look that up on your own. Okay. And then in Matthew 5, chapter 6, just a little side note from the Sermon on the Mount that Rav Joy gave us a few times over the past year. Those who hunger and thirst after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those whose hearts are serious and receptive and hungry and thirsty for God. You know, when you're thirsty, you'll take any drink of water. Any sip will do. You just need one sip. But when your soul is thirsting for God, when you're hungry for God, it's living waters, not a drip, even though a drip would suffice from God. It's an avalanche. It's a spring. It's a fountain. It's Niagara Falls. You will be filled. Only those who are hungry and thirsty will be filled. And this is how you will be filled. Pressed down, shaken up, overflowing. That's what we want. Now, the hard soil, or the shallow soil, I mean the shallow soul, or the rocky soil, I mean the rocky soul, or the thorny soil, I mean the thorny soul. You get bupkis, you get nothing. All these seeds, all these blessings that God had in store for you, nothing's doing because you've choked it out. You weren't interested. The cares and the worries of this world, your own fleshly desires, that's more important. But not to God. He wants your heart. He wants all of it. Okay, you know what I'm saying when I say that. Another great quote from our beautiful shepherd is this. John chapter 10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Yes, the abundant, overflowing life, 100-fold life, is for every one of his disciples that seek him wholeheartedly and that listen for his voice. So, dear Ruach Israel, please never stop hungering and thirsting and listening for it. And I'm not done yet. Verse 21. Then Yeshua asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it underneath a basket or under the bed or shut out its light? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a lampstand where its light will shine. Remember, you are all lights on his menorah. You're all lights. He's the shamash. We're his lights. We've got to shine for him. Everything that is hidden, verse 22, or secret will be brought into the light. And anyone who is willing to hear should really listen and understand. And be sure to pay attention to what you hear, verse 24. If you want to become an A student in Yeshua's class, and I will admit, I want to be his teacher's pet. I'll admit it. I'm going to be saying, ooh, 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 like Welcome Back, Carter. Ooh, ooh, teacher, call on me. And that's what he's looking for. Take notes. Study hard. Go over the verses that God is giving you. We all have favorite verses. Live in there. Ask questions. And then for extra credit, memorize it. Put the word deep into the garden of your soul. You'll get an A+. Yeshua is speaking in verse 24. The more you do this, the more you will get blessed. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is one lesson. You know, it seems like it's like two or three lessons. It's one lesson. So go ahead. Get into God's word and listen to his voice. Listen for his voice. Verse 25, to those who are open to my teachings, says Yeshua, my Torah, says Yeshua, my word, says Yeshua, to those who carefully consider what I am saying, even more will be given to you, more understanding, more wisdom, and more peace. I'm almost done. That will be given to you, even up to 100-fold return. And here's the caveat, but to those who are not listening or do not invest, even what they have, Yeshua says, will be taken from them. So this is my advice. If you really want to hear his voice, then Shema. The end. Thank you.
So, thank you, Gary.
Thanks for letting me do it.
Absolutely. Good words, Gary.
Hi.
Oh, my. And important words for us to remember as we start this new year and as we move into Elul in just a few weeks, that we begin listening very deeply to the voice of the Lord and where he wants us to go this year.
And the descendants of your people, Israel, be those who know your name and study your Torah. For Messiah.